to advertise, email podcast@thisismatchy.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
The Premier League premieres once again for a new season, 24-25, and Bafana squad announced. Welcome to Onside ZA, brought to you by Betway. Get way more. Ballers, thank you so much for joining us here once again. Remember, if you are joining as a new user on the Betway app, use the affiliate code ONSIDEZA. It really helps us out a lot. Joining me on the show today, Mr. Len Moleko.
What up? What it do?
Everybody's favorite super sub.
Danku.
And for some reason, I left the best for last.
Hi, darling.
Seppi Worldwide. Thanks for joining us. Welcome, darling.
Thank you for having me.
And welcome to you, the ballers. Steez the baller, Mac O'Berry Studios, Vuyo. I am AB King Pabalo. Thank you so much for joining us. Guys, a action-packed weekend of Premier League. We were talking Super Sub. We mentioned the rustiness in those MTN 8 fixtures.
Yeah.
No rustiness showing in the Premier League. Extremely professional.
It looks like they just closed last week, those guys, eh?
Jeez, they're going.
Not all of them.
I'm curious to see if there's a single club that's singled out there by Len Moleko.
I was really not that impressed with Man United. The way they played, it looked like they were still halfway between off-season and halfway between massaging themselves into the new season. And I'm jumping straight to them because that's how our appetites were wet.
But don't you think Mara City is not known to start, with...
No, talk about Man United.
Okay,
Manchester United. I want to ask you an honest question here. Did you watch them at all last season?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so Friday night?
I did.
Are you criticizing Friday night?
I'm criticizing Friday night.
They continued where they left off.
In a nutshell.
They were far better than they were last season. They weren't great, but they were horrible last season. In the
absence of the best, the worst is the best. Essentially, is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying that it was better. Like, you can't talk about it in the same way we were talking about, like, preseason rustiness or anything along those lines. Is they were much better on Friday night than they were at all last season.
Can I...
Besides maybe the FA Cup final and the Community Shield, they also played quite well. I think that Man United played quite well on Friday compared to Man United of last season, because you can't compare them to Arsenal or City.
You know, in summing up Manchester United on Friday, they got the 3 points. That's it.
Yeah, I mean,
there's nothing else to derive from that match.
Super Sub?
What were they supposed to do? Not get 3 points?
No, I mean, for me, yes, the introduction of Joshua and some of the new signings that were there. I didn't see a willingness to almost enforce and have a different approach to games. A Man United team that's approaching the season with the mentality that we were crappy last season. There's a host of changes that we need to make. And in making the, you know, Man United was so ordinary on Friday. The only person who stood out for me was Harry Maguire.
I thought Harry
Maguire
was excellent.
Just because of that goal that he stopped. goal bound shot.
I mean, actually, Harry Maguire and Mazraoui.
Yes.
I thought Mazraoui was fantastic. He had a fantastic, neat, tidy performance. You look at it in the stats and it's insane how well he did. Looking at the stats of the game overall, 55.4% possession at home. They had 5 shots on target, 14 shots. Is that not a huge improvement on last season? 14 shots in a
Definitely.
Single game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a huge improvement.
It is.
I think the only
That's
thing
what
you
they
could
were
say.
Getting every
I think game. We'd be telling a different story if Man United were more clinical, because they had very good chances. They should have won it by 3.
There was that one of Rashford. I was like, what are you doing, mate?
Rashford and Garnacho open goal at the end of the game. And if this fixture finished 3-0, would you still be saying Man United didn't perform?
They just looked ordinary. If we look at all the teams that are
expected to compete.
Yes, like let's say the top four teams.
Who was the most ordinary of the big six sides?
Spurs is not, is it? Spurs is a big six.
Yeah, Spurs is a big six.
Look, Spurs in the first half looked, they were just unlucky. They played well. They played very well.
Right? And the second half, they didn't show up.
Yeah, in the second half, they didn't show up. Or Leicester showed up in the second half because Leicester were not there.
A combination of both. Yes.
So it's a combination of both. So on the balance of play, it's City, Liverpool, Arsenal. Yeah, those were the only three that showed up. And then, Chelsea is not a big team, guys. Sorry.
About Villa?
Chelsea's got 42 players at Villa there.
Because if you're Villa then showed up. Newcastle? They did,
Newcastle showed up, even though they were unlucky with that red card for Shaw, but that's probably a conversation we will have later. Man United, Spurs. Well, Man United won, but they just didn't show up.
You've mentioned half the league because Brighton's top of the league and they showed up.
Yeah, we're talking about traditional top six teams.
Okay, so traditional top six teams. Traditional Chelsea, Villa there, Chelsea and Spurs were the poorest.
I said big teams, Marco. Why is Chelsea there?
But you
traditional you top six
you're
and big
contradicting
six.
Yourself.
No, man, I'm just being a troll.
No, but at some point you need to put some respect because Chelsea did finish relatively better than what we had even anticipated last season.
Yeah, but then they fired the manager.
Stupid move.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll get there. Yes, Marco. Sorry. But so, yeah, Man United.
I'll defend Man United here. And
of course.
I'm the first to criticize them. I really am. I'm the first to criticize them when they're poor. But I thought Casemiro was exceptional. I thought he played very well. And I think last season.
Who is he playing? I was not going to ask that question.
Yeah, he is playing in midfield. He has played out of position. He couldn't play out of position last season. This season, him partnering with Kobbie Mainoo looks like it will be a very stable midfield and means the defenders are under less pressure. Harry Maguire put in a great performance. Lisandro Martinez, besides one issue against the bulky Fulham winger from Spain. What's his name again?
The Big Oak.
Yes.
The Big Oak who runs very fast.
Yes, yes,
what's his name? He was at Barca last season.
Yes, yes, yes.
Got him from Wolves.
Two seasons
what's
ago.
What's his name?
Adama Traore.
Anyway,
he got passed by Adama Traore once. He was out-muscled by him, which who won't be. And then after that, he had number. I thought that Mazraoui was exceptional. He played a really good, neat, tidy game. His stats prove it. And I thought that Bruno Fernandes is a fantastic player, and we're not surprised when he plays well, but he had a few chances that he could have been more clinical with. Other than that, I mean, how can you criticize their performance to that extent? To talk about them being so ordinary, they played well
and
against a pretty
days.
Good.
And also, I mean, it is the very first match of the season. What were you expecting? Fireworks?
I am not disputing the first match of the season. What I'm saying is, I expected Man United to come off the blocks to almost statement like, because they were so hot air last year. That means the bar is so low for them, right? In that. They give that kind of performance from Friday and it's like, at least there's improvement.
I don't know. I thought it was quite a good performance, actually, against the good Fulham side. The thing is, Manchester United, that level of performance is a top four side if you can play at that level and be more clinical. If you can play at that level regularly and be more clinical, you'll finish in the top four.
Have we been able to establish who the underdog is going to be this season?
Brighton already raising their hands. Not that we would consider them an underdog, but...
Yeah, I want to get to Brighton in already, a bit. But there's no an underdog in terms of someone who might perform this season.
Yeah.
At Chatham.
I don't know, Ipswich. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, are they underdogs in that league? Do you know what I'm saying? Everyone's good.
Yeah, look.
You're not going to look at Brentford and be like, underdog, Bournemouth, underdog.
Because
Brighton, underdog. We know that they're good sides.
Yeah, we're talking about teams that at any given, they can finish in the top eight. They have done it before.
Yeah.
They've just had a blip one season. So it's, Leicester going to finish in the top eight, are we going to call them an underdog? They've won the league before. Yes, they got dropped. Southampton consistently being in the Premier League for yonks years. They just got relegated. They back up. So from an underdog perspective, mm-hmm. I think the one team that's underdog-ish would be Ipswich, actually.
I think all the guys that, I would like to say, like, all the guys that just came back are relatively underdogs, because obviously
Southampton, Leicester.
Yeah, Southampton, Leicester, rather.
I think. Yeah, I agree with you. It's a tough league. We know everyone there is good.
And it's a different climate. I mean, just because you have played in this field in the past does not necessarily mean that you're just going to come in there and get comfortable, you know, and just take off from where you left off. So you are technically an underdog. We expect you to see what you're going to bring this time around.
Because they were relegated.
Precisely.
Yeah, unless they got a new manager because their manager went to Chelsea for some reason.
Oh, the former Nottingham man.
Yeah.
He just got a sad face, that man. Man, you look at that man, you just want him to win. Eh? Shame, man.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
Steve Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, ballers, a quick question.
I've got a question for you, Marco Batia.
Who was your standout individual from this weekend's action? Who's your standout individual from this weekend's action? Super Sub, your question.
What did you make of that tactical change that Ten Hag made in the 81st minute of Maguire and that Moroccan defender going out? I mean, it's 0-0. What do you attribute that to? It's 0-0 and you're bringing in two defenders.
Yeah, it's
it did not make sense to me. What did you make of it?
I think it's two things. He, Mazraoui, it's his first game for the club. He was pushed in out of necessity because of injuries, I suppose. So maybe he wanted to change Mazraoui. But in saying that, that's not a tactical decision, is it?
It's like for like.
But he also made substitutions that he could, in a way, as well, because of the injuries, etc. He doesn't necessarily have that many attacking options. Look at the changes that he did make that were tactical changes to try and get a goal. Xerxes, Garnacho, McTominay.
Yeah.
So I guess he made the changes he could make, but I don't like defensive changes at that point of a game, even if you're only leading by one.
Two of them, and I think Harry put in a shift. Eh?
It was before the goal was scored, but when those changes were made.
But also, the goal was scored. But also, Harry Maguire's just come back as well, so he's got the option of a new signing, who De Ligt, who's played for top clubs all across Europe. He obviously shows that he trusts the player, and Maguire, he thought, might get run over at the later stages in the game because he's just come back.
Okay,
I mean, he didn't even feature in the Community Shield, so. Yeah. You know, that's. But I'm searching for reasons. I don't know his reasoning.
Could also
for it. Maybe he did it as a tactical thing, like you're suggesting, and then I don't agree with it from a tactical standpoint.
Mm.
But I'm finding reasons as to why I might have made those changes.
Close of the
Speaking
game,
guys. Yeah.
Because I was going to say close of the game, or try like steady the ship at the back. 0-0 at home. You don't want to be nibbled in the closing minutes of the game. So,
Yeah,
I suppose, but
we are casting.
It's just weird.
Like, we are just casting aspersions.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I was saying, speaking of people that have not been involved or included in the starting 11 for Chelsea, Sterling not being included and then putting out some statements minutes before the match started. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, disrespectful.
Is it disrespectful? Are we gonna go right and collapse the bridge as collapsed as it is?
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, look.
It's okay, it's a, she doesn't get it.
No, Stanford Bridge, I get it.
Yeah. Look, disrespectful.
You think?
Sterling didn't make the statement himself. Obviously, his team made the statement. Yeah. So it's a little bit. I think the timing of it was disrespectful. The wording of it was kind of strange as well. Like, I thought it's weird. But Chelsea's a mess. Are you surprised that high-profile players are coming out, or at least their teams are coming out, and having such statements? I'm not surprised by it. It's a mess there. How can you have 6-7 players in every position? It's insane.
But the coach then came out and said that at the post-match interview, said that the reason he did not include Sterling was because there could be some transfer that is pending for him. And that could be the potential reason. But it seems as though in the changing room,
why would you say that? Yeah. Why would you
say
that?
That's a PR answer.
If there's no official offer and he hasn't gone to have a medical, why would you even say that?
Mm.
I would say, for personal reasons to the club. He was not included today.
I don't think I that
have
guy's
a lot of admiration.
He
and
said that,
for
and
him.
Then said, "Oh, but I still want him on the team." So it was a bit of a contradiction.
I don't think he's going to survive that job,
Maresca. Oh, he's going to be the first manager to be fired.
You
trust
think
me.
So?
I think so.
I don't think he's going to survive. I also look at the body language of his players. Yes, in the first half they had like a good run, but in the second half, geez, man, even Cole Palmer, he looks so lost.
He's warm Palmer now.
Flippin' hell.
Look. He couldn't do that by himself.
Is it not because...
He was still the most threatening player on the pitch.
No, fair point. Look.
But he was not the Cole Palmer that we saw under Poch.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
In saying that, how many England stars did you see start for City? Foden didn't start.
Yeah.
Walker didn't start.
Rodri
played in the Spanish.
But Cole Palmer didn't play in the Europe, in the Euros.
Rodri was
yeah,
not
he didn't.
There.
He didn't put in the legs, but yeah. He was there with the team.
Yeah,
he
but
didn't
what I'm
put
saying
in the
is,
minutes on the field, but he was there with the team. He didn't have a holiday. And he's pushed back into the squad. Man City had the luxury of not pushing some of those players back into the squad. Still get the win. Lots of funny memes about Cucurella making Haaland's legs shake. And didn't make him shake at all. Rolled him over quite easily, actually. So,
Cucurella, I don't know what was happening. Even Savino was having a full day with him.
To sum it up for you, ne, where Chelsea is involved, ne, Chelsea sold Kovacic to Man City for, I think, was it about 25, 30 mil? Somewhere there.
Very, very, very...
Only for him to score against them.
And the same Kovacic that was sold for 30 mil literally passed, 200 mil?
Yeah, to go score a goal.
It was Enzo and Moises Caicedo. To score the goal.
Yep.
So it just goes to show, like, because now João Felix is allegedly the swap has been done with Connor's gone the other way.
Yeah, we don't know the details of the deal, but that will come. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty much a done deal.
From what I understood, it's not a swap deal. They have individual transfer fees, but.
Isn't João like on a permanent loan?
No. It's a permanent deal.
João is a loan player.
It was a loan. Remember, he was loaned.
Yeah,
from,
he was loaned to Chelsea, then loaned to Barcelona, now permanent deal to Chelsea.
Yes.
Okay. But I mean, it's because no one could afford him. He was 120 something million euros when Atletico signed him from Benfica.
Then probably logic would then dictate, just to be on the right side of PSR, get rid of Sterling because he's probably on like 300 a week or something.
Yeah.
That's what is happening. That's basically they're trying to push him out.
But
they still have...
Why are you pushing out one player? Yeah.
They still have 115 players though.
You need to push out
more. Are
they on
300,000 per week?
No, but still.
100 at 100 is still a lot.
Yeah, no. But they've got too many players.
Also just having so much personnel.
Sterling's salary, it's equivalent to 3 to 4 players a week.
Agreed, yeah. So he's the first one that they want out the
but
door.
But you still
clearly.
Have 75 players though.
Yeah, it's
too much. No, what I'm saying, you have to start somewhere.
I
feel sad for Sterling. I think he doesn't deserve such kind of treatment. You know, I mean, he showed last season that he actually wants to wear that blue jersey, you know, and the way he's been treated, I mean, it's not fair, I think.
There were rumors
I think what's his name?
Maresca. Enzo Maresca.
I think he's overwhelmed. I think there is just way too much that's happening. And I don't know if he has the ability to manage in the manner in which he should be managing. On average, I was actually listening to a podcast, and you guys should tell me if I'm incorrect, but on average, you have at least 6 players that we know are going to be playing, no, 8 players that are going to be playing week in, week out. Then you have another, no, I think it's 6, and then 8 that are going to be either coming in or out, and no, actually fighting for 3 positions within the 6.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have at least another 7 that are just sitting there. Whereas in Chelsea, it's like a bunch of people. So I think Maresca is going to struggle with just managing personnel. And I don't think, you know, they were even asking, how do they even manage just like training sessions with so many people?
Do they have space in the parking lot,
You know what I mean? No. Like, it's overwhelming.
At Cobham.
Listen, there's first team players that are struggling to get tickets to watch a game, let alone to find themselves on the pitch. Heading into these comments, Savinho pops up quite a lot. This is my favorite.
He had a fantastic game.
He had a fantastic game.
We spoke about him before the deal was even announced. Mm. And we spoke about his quality at Girona. Mm. And then we spoke about the connection between the two clubs and said it's a deal that we could see happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then when the deal was announced, we were like, is it a fair deal? Should it be investigated, etc.? But we never questioned the quality of the player. And what stood out for me is like, oh, yay, finally, Manchester City have a replacement for Riyad Mahrez.
Yeah, no, perfect fit.
But whatever happened then to that that whole situation of they are kind of related?
Nothing.
And,
nothing. And 116 like charges. That. Doesn't matter. Okay. What do you want?
Oh, okay.
Do you know what the funny thing was? There's this bar in, I think it's in the UK. So they were promoting the screening of the match between Chelsea and Man City. So it went like this. 115 players like versus 115 charges. I thought that was cool.
So can we get back to the game?
Yeah, so my favorite
Savino.
Yeah, so he pops up quite a lot. Then my favorite comment here so far, Libor, saying definitely Anthony Taylor versus Chelsea. Hilarious.
I don't think he had such a bad game.
It's a funny comment either way.
No, true.
Great comment. And then Official Black Tea saying Casemiro and Onana from Aston Villa as well as Saka. Saka scoring a worldie. Fantastic.
Yeah, and the assist.
Saka had a good game.
Saka had a good game. Showing his quality. But I agree with Casemiro as well. I thought he had a very good game. And then Onana from Aston Villa. We knew that was a good signing for Villa.
Yeah, no, definitely. But for me, I think Saka had a relatively good game. For me, the unsung hero in that Arsenal versus Wolves match was Martin Odegaard. The work that he did on and off the ball, because he didn't score in anything, it almost goes unnoticed. But the shift he put in defense and in attack was something to marvel at.
Although in saying that, and I thought he was fantastic, I thought Arsenal looked a different level in the first half. And they went through a very difficult patch in the second half. And if Wolves were to convert in that purple patch, if Wolves were to convert, we might be saying the same sort of story as what Spurs had against Leicester, where Spurs were dominant in the first half. And then Jamie Vardy was the difference maker for Leicester. How many times have we said that in the past?
Yeah.
And it ends in 1-1. Arsenal's performance, as fantastic as it was in the first half during that purple patch, they didn't seem to manage the quality of Wolves during a period of the match when they were in ascendancy. So it could have turned ugly. I don't think it was Arsenal's best performance. But when you saw Arsenal playing with quality, they looked quality.
I think the difference with Arsenal and Spurs and with where they finish on the log in recent seasons is that you know that, yes, there was that patch where Wolves were like going at them left, right, and center. But you knew even at 1-0, even if Wolves had equalized through that header and you saw that insane save from David Raya, Arsenal still had a goal in them. Whereas with Spurs, if Spurs against Leicester with the chances they created, if they had Harry Kane, that was a game that was going to be won. However, you had Solanke who had, I think, one or two chances that were almost...
He's been there for 3 days.
You know? So it's as if like he's still trying to figure out where the bathroom is, where the tuck shop is there by Tottenham Hotspur. He's not...
Anyway, we got a long list. Sorry. We got a long list of picks here. Spornello saying Fatawu from Leicester, the number 7. Good call. Rico Lewis for City from Plug Family. I thought Rico Lewis, in terms of his adaptability, he had a very, very good game. This is my biggest one. I am AB. Mo Salah was a standout player of the weekend. Of I agree. More for Rico Lewis, more for Savinho. We spoke about Mazraoui. I agree with that. Onana, Aston Villa, we spoke about. Casemiro, we spoke about. I do think he was fantastic. Maguire was good. Savinho, mentioned for Odegaard, who we mentioned. And then more of this Savinho. So
Rodgers,
it seems to
Rodgers
be...
Rodgers for Villa, for me, was also excellent. It was Villa and... Who did
West
Villa play?
West Ham.
And West Ham. Western. He was brilliant.
The claret and blue derby.
He was brilliant, yeah.
More Doku and more Savinho, more Onana. Oh, this Bongani Chabalala's comment is Onana looked comfortable in goal compared to last season. He did look quite good. Fair. I don't know if he was under too much pressure, but he... Like, I think that... That goes to show you when the defense is under less pressure, the goalkeeper can be more confident as well. I just want to see if there's anything else in terms of people's picks. Not quite. a few for Maguire as well, and Lavia. Okay, so your picks. Standout person from the weekend.
It has to be Saka for me. Saka had a stellar of a game. I think he showed the quality that he is, and he just shows that if he can stay injury-free this season, it's just going to help Arsenal maybe
push for that title.
Push for that title and topple City. I think he had a stellar game, and he picked up where he left off.
Agreed.
I mean, he's a quality player. Let's not lie.
Yeah, he's a top player. For me,
it's Fabian Huzela.
Tippy. Ignore him. He didn't say anything.
Okay. Isn't that the coach?
Ignore him.
Yeah.
Don't worry. He didn't say anything.
Isn't he? Okay, whatever. Like I said, Rodgers for me. And Doku.
Doku was very good.
Yep.
So my pick for the standout individual from the weekend is Fabian Huzela. You ruined it for me. You ruined it for me. Youngest.
See, we are the youngest
permanent manager in Premier League history.
Mm.
Yeah.
He came in and took over probably a good Brighton side that could blow hot and cold last season. But they played with a level of tactical freedom that was excellent. They were fluid. They had freedom. They were tactically astute in defense as well. And this is all from a man who was born in Texas, which is even more impressive, although he did spend most of his time in Germany, which I suppose helps.
I think that's where he learned his football.
That's where he learned his football, not in
definitely
Texas.
Definitely not in Texas.
Learn a different type of football in Texas. How's this? James Milner, the first and only player to ever play in 23 Premier League campaigns. The man...
He doesn't want to give up.
He doesn't want to give up. He's on his way to breaking Gareth Barry's appearance record of 653. James Milner's first game in the Premier League, he was 16 years old, November 2002 was his first appearance in the Premier League.
I was still in high school.
No, Len, don't lie to the people. Well, you had just retired.
So, speaking of who was still in school when James Milner made his first appearance, Fabian Huzela was 9 years old when James Milner made his first appearance in the Premier League.
His
current manager was 9 years old when he made his first appearance in the Premier League.
That's insane, eh?
That's crazy. That's crazy.
How's that for a stat?
It's crazy. Yeah.
Anyway, it was an action-packed weekend of Premier League football.
Oh, also still on the Brighton conversation. And I think, yes, they were blowing hot and cold last season. The return of Mitoma, you can see the impact that he has. Mm. Quality player. He's back in the side.
Difficult
back
to deal
from
with.
Injury. And you can just see that Brighton have a different steez to such an extent that you have a Danny Welbeck rolling back the years.
Another mention, we have to mention one of your favorites, Saliba, and him having his 50th Premier League win. That is something.
The fastest.
Well, technically not the fast. For Arsenal. It says here, just want to give you some facts very, very quickly. It says that he reached his, I'll tell you now. Continue.
Yeah.
There's some interesting facts by for him, about him.
And talking about, we're still on the Brighton story. What is the issue? What's the story with Ansu? Is he...
He was on loan.
Yeah, I know he was on loan. Yeah, what is the story? Is he going to continue with the loan? Or
has he not gone back to Barcelona?
He's gone back. There was an option to buy, which they didn't execute.
They didn't exercise that option.
I think they still have time to action that option, the purchase option. Mm. But I think it'll be too much money for Brighton. And they've just broken their transfer record in recent weeks.
That's one team that they literally find the most obscure players and managers that you've never heard of. They come to Brighton and they just flourish. Like, you have no idea.
Yeah.
But then they go to other teams and become part of 75 players.
Yeah,
so it says in the 66 games, Arsenal has kept a 30 clean sheets and conceded just 54 goals, averaging 0.8 when he's been in charge, which is something great.
Yeah, he's sort of like, I think Saliba is, and no disrespect, I think he's a Rodri of Arsenal. You know, when he's not there,
You feel it.
You know, he's that kind of a player that he's got that impact. He knows how to marshal his lines, you know, and when he's not there, you sort of like feel it. And I think that was the reason why Arsenal didn't do too well this season, that he got injured. That's why they couldn't push City all the way.
Best centre-back in the Premier League right now.
I think so.
And Brighton have broken their transfer record just yesterday. Jorginho Rutter from Leeds, £40 million. So I think that tells you all you need to know about the Ansu Fati deal. Not going to happen. Nice. They're not going to spend mm-hmm. big again. They've broken, from mm-hmm. Leeds United.
Yeah, there's another player from Leeds. I think he went to Spurs, youngster. Lots said about that player. And whatever, speaking of Brighton as well, is Ferguson back in the fold? Because there was lots of talk about him being the next best thing in English football. And like his transfer figure was probably going to be in the hundreds. But then Ferguson just vanished.
Yeah.
That's English players for you, bro. Like, we heard so much about Smith Rowe. You know, and look.
Ah, Smith Rowe.
Well, where's Calvin Phillips? Smith Rowe is the record signing for Fulham now. Mm. Injuries maybe have plagued his.
True.
But Calvin Phillips is the one that you pick out. He's a former Leeds United player that was perceived as being England's next great hope.
But I'm just
struggled at West Ham, struggled at City. Now he's got a chance at Ipswich, and you'd think it's his last chance to really impress to become a decent player now, this time at Ipswich.
Yeah.
Okay. Finishing off, Manchester City, you mentioned Rodri. He was missing. However, former Chelsea midfielder showed up against Chelsea, and the midfield didn't look that vulnerable without Rodri.
No, it did not. I just wonder if it's one of those situations where, as a player, you're playing your former employer and you just go and... We've seen it. You're Sterling doing it against Manchester City, and the next game, it's lukewarm. You know, he's a quality player. I like him. I'm just saying that I just hope it's not one of those, because Kovacic did not set a foot wrong in that game, you know. And if that's how he's going to perform, I think there's a good backup for Rodri. And we'll see. But it does look like Pep wants to bring Gundo back, because I think out of all the positions at Manchester City, that's where he is a bit vulnerable.
Yeah, and is it going to matter? Because it's looking very much like Ilkay Gundogan will come back to Man City on a free.
I think it would be good. There is, I'll tell you why. If you look how...
Did they let go of him to start with?
Bernardo Silva's playing in his
deeper
position.
He's not playing, he's playing deeper. And which means now, if we get
Gundogan back,
that position
and you can
will
play,
be, will
you
be
can
filled.
Play Gundogan and Rodri next to each other.
Yeah, and now Gundogan can fill up that other position on the winger, which Bob is not even available now because he's got an injury.
Yeah.
So I think that move will fit in very well for
him. Especially for free.
I think, but also knowing not knowing, because it's not like we have tea together. Pep Guardiola, in the manner that Gundogan left, do you think the door is still open for him to come back?
Apparently, from what has been reported, he actually inquired about it.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, and anyway, I don't think Pep Guardiola gets upset when any player says, I want to play for Barcelona, because I think he's got a soft spot for that.
But besides
he
Barcelona...
He understands when a player wants to go to Barcelona.
But I've never Barcelona, seen him have beef with players as much as other coaches have. Ooh. Yes, super sub.
The beef, it happens all the time in football. But what I'm saying is, we need to applause what he does with players that actually wants to leave. I think it's fair play. If a player says to the manager, I want more game time, more than you are giving me, the door is open, and then he allows players to leave. I think it's fair play.
When you've got the luxury to do so, like Manchester City do.
Well, Mourinho used to do it back then in the days, you know,
yeah.
And he allowed your Kevin De Bruyne to go, your Mo Salah to go, you know, because
when
you've
got the luxury. When you've
if
got the
you're
luxury.
Winning the league and you've got a winning formula, there's no need to hold into other players.
Agreed.
I think it's selfish and it's unfair on the players.
I agreed.
So now,
and ask Zlatan Ibrahimovic if Pep Guardiola has beef with players.
And what about Ivan leaving Brentford?
Yeah.
But his loan deals are not materializing everywhere he goes. So you
he's
get
a problem
to ask
player.
That's what I'm saying.
But Zlatan isn't a problem player.
You guys are cross-conversating.
I know.
Asked about Ivan Toney.
What about Toney at Brentford? Because obviously he was not played because the story is that there's some interest at Al Hilal?
Isn't it Al Ali?
Let me check.
They're all Al Al, man.
No, friend.
Well, it's the only league that...
Al Malfan.
So I heard a very interesting story about Ivan Toney, whose initials, funnily enough, are
yeah,
I Bet.
Ali. It's Al Ali.
IBET. I bet, Ivan Tony. Anyway.
living up to your name.
Interesting story about Ivan Tony. Arsenal were apparently looking at him, decided against Ivan Tony because of his wage demands. He's currently on around £100,000 a week, but he's demanding £250,000 to £300,000 a week in his next move. Arsenal don't want to upset the apple cart at their own club because if they give him, there's a lot of players at the club who will want parity with the highest earners. So they can't bring in someone with those sort of wage demands. So Arsenal have decided to go against him. And in saying that, I don't think there's a single Premier League club that's going to go for Ivan Tony and pay him those wages. So his only option is going to be Saudi League unless he drops his demands for how much he wants.
But also, I think Arsenal is avoiding that because of PSR, because they don't want to be on the wrong side of PSR.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, you're going to have Saka saying, I want that amount of money. You're going to have Odegaard saying, I want that amount of money. You're going to have a few players saying, even a Declan Rice going to be like, I deserve to be one of the top earners at the club. If you bring someone in on big wages, we've seen it upset the apple cart before in the past. Once again, brilliant piece of sports directorship from Edu in saying, no, we will look for other targets.
And yeah, well, Chelsea also is the same thing. There's a reason why Conor Gallagher is leaving, because everybody else is getting big salary contracts. But his one is like, wait a minute, we'll see if you fit in.
I don't think Felix is coming in on the cheap either. I'm sure he's going to have a fat package. Yeah. Okay, so sure, we've spoken about Premier League for over 30 minutes. Quick look at our picks on the Betway app. Remember the Pick Your Promo app, or the Pick Your Promo promotion is still active on the Betway app. Click on the banner, choose between all the fun promos. I said during the Euros it was the most fun I had betting because of the different promos that you had. It helped you to bet a bit differently. I enjoyed that a lot. Pick Your Promo is still active now currently on the Betway app. Our Betway picks ahead of this weekend's action. Len Moleko or Brighton against Manchester United.
Brighton for the win.
I knew it.
You know what? Considering Brighton's new coach, guys, is someone to is going to be a force to be reckoned with. But I think,
Len, you fouled.
I'm going to say it's going to be either a win for Brighton or a draw.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a difficult one.
One times two, win or draw?
It's hard, yeah.
I think it's going to be a draw.
Okay.
A win for United. If I bet, well, when I go bet, I'm going to put United to win or draw.
Okay.
Yeah, one times two. I wouldn't disagree with that. I think Man United will just sneak this one just past Brighton. I think Brighton left themselves vulnerable against Everton, and I think the total scoreline, even though I do think they played really well, I think it flatters them slightly. I mean, that red card for Ashley Young was silly. You know, I think the scoreline flattered Brighton more. Everton had a goal disallowed. That was like quite a soft call, and Everton would have been leading 1-0 in the early minutes of the game, and that could have changed it. So I will go for a Man United win, but on the Betway app, just to give yourself safety on your multi-bet, I will go one times two, win or draw for Manchester United. Same. Crystal Palace versus West Ham. Len Moleko.
Palace.
Palace at home against West Ham. Tepi, darling.
London derby. It could be... I think it's either going to be a win for Palace or it's going to be a draw. West Ham has not been bad. I mean, yes, they lost against Villa, but I mean, they put out a good fight.
Super sub.
Palace for a win.
Palace at home.
I'm going for a draw. Palace versus West Ham. I think Palace, if it was an evening game, there's something about Selhurst Park at night that gives them that extra edge. I'm a big fan of Eze, but I think that there's a few players still looking to get a move out of Crystal Palace. I think
it's going to be an interesting one because they're both wounded.
Yeah. And I think West Ham are getting into a game with a very good new manager in there.
Julian Lopetegu. Yes.
Yeah, I really rate him. I like this West Ham side. I think they've got good players. I fancy a draw. And I'll tell you right now, if it was an evening game, I'd go Crystal Palace all the way.
Okay.
So I'm going a draw on that one. Fulham against Leicester.
Fulham.
Tepi, darling.
Leicester.
Super sub.
Fulham.
I'll go Fulham at home as well. I think Fulham are a good side. A lot of experience in the side. Leicester, I think they you know, they'll do something this season, but I think they're going to be struggling around the bottom. I don't see them getting many points. Okay. I'll go with a Fulham win. Man City at home against Ipswich.
3.5 over.
You reckon, Len?
Yeah.
I mean, did you see? Well, I mean, maybe it's because it was their first game at home against Liverpool. They held their own, actually.
Remember, 3-1, a 3-1 is still 3.5 over. It's not necessarily has to be a 4-0. So Man City to win 3.5 over, even a 3-1 or a 5-2 or a 4 or a 3-2 or anything along those lines, 3.5 over. That's the way you're going to get the odds in this game, because it's going to be big odds for Ipswich to do anything in this fixture. So I agree with you, Len Moleko.
Yeah,
Seppi, darling, City win.
Straight.
Yeah, no, City win.
I mean, City win, but I agree. I wouldn't like go into those odds. I would go City, depending on what the odds are, 2.5. But if 3.5 is that much more flattering, I'll go with that one as well. Southampton against Nottingham Forest.
Draw. I think it's going to be a boring game, eh?
Yeah, it's going to be the worst game of the weekend.
Draw.
Sure.
I go with Len. Draw.
Southampton at home. They might be struggling a bit defensively, but I feel like they're playing at home. They're going to win this one. 1-0 even.
Yeah, Southampton or draw or under 2.5. Something along those fixtures. Yeah. Spurs against Everton.
Spurs
are at home. 4 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday.
Spurs.
I think Everton are in trouble this season, and
the next one
already they're on a minus two. They have a minus two waiting for them as well. Yeah,
yeah, they're gonna have minuses all season long. Them and Leicester. That's why I fancy the two of them to and get relegated.
Others who might get relegated.
Nottingham.
I don't know who.
Yeah. Maybe it depends how many points they pull down from them.
Yeah.
Nottingham Forest, Leicester, and Everton, obviously the three that I think are in danger because of exactly those rules. Aston Villa at home to Arsenal, blockbuster Saturday. I do fancy Arsenal. I think they're a good side. I think that Arteta will have picked up what went wrong during those periods at Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Aston Villa is a good side. This is my hardest call of it. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I think. Interestingly enough, I think Villa is going to struggle to score in this game.
Wait, I take my bet back.
I convinced him.
Arsenal to win, and I'll tell you why.
Ooh.
Mentally, I'm sure Arteta has drummed it into their heads because he's got these weird things that he does. He bought a Labrador for the training ground. He had them being pickpocketed at a dinner.
I heard about that. That was hilarious.
And if you were watching, I almost said Chasing the Sun, the thing on Amazon Prime, he was telling them about Thomas Edison and connecting and the light bulbs.
Yes.
You must connect like the light bulb kind of thing. So there is something.
He should coach in PSL.
Yeah?
He should coach in PSL.
He should. I think there's something that he's doing to actually get the guys so like amped up to play Villa in reminding them that you could have won the league had it not been for this.
It's a revenge fixture for you.
Payback, yeah.
Yes.
Payback.
Okay, Bournemouth against Newcastle. Bournemouth at home.
Newcastle, definitely.
Newcastle, yeah.
Newcastle to win. Tight game, I think. Wolves against Chelsea. Wolves at Molineux.
Wolves to win.
Seppi, darling.
Chelsea.
Wolves to win.
Big draw on me. I really think it's a draw written all over it, and I'll take whatever
Chelsea's
odds are on it.
Chelsea's
in trouble. It's not looking good.
They're not in
good.
Trouble. They're in disarray.
Liverpool at home to Brentford.
Liverpool to win.
Seppi, darling.
Liverpool, darling.
I think it's going to be a draw.
Liverpool against Brentford at home. Anfield.
Okay.
Liverpool win at Anfield.
And it's
come on. Super sub.
It's going to be a draw.
Okay, so don't listen to Super Sub so that you can win some money on the Betway app. Liverpool to win at home against Brentford on Sunday evening.
Just a parting shot. Ane has slotted right in.
Very nice.
I see that deserves
applause.
Yeah.
He has slotted right in.
Slotted.
Well done. Very well done, nice. Sir. Well done.
Yeah.
That's a wrap on our Premier League action. Now it's time to jet right off, brought to you by Betway and Aviator. So much fun. Big opportunities to win big. So get onto the Betway app if you are joining as a new user. Once again, use the code OnsideZA. It really helps us out along. Teppi, darling, where are we off to?
We are going all the way to Spain, in Catalan. So the story is that four suspects have been arrested in connection with the stabbing of Barcelona sensation Yamin Yamal's father, four suspects have been arrested in connection with a knife attack on the father of the Spanish teen, the Catalan police said. It is said that the father of the 17-year-old Barcelona star was hospitalized and is in serious condition after suffering two stab wounds. The story is that he was attacked after having an argument with some people. It was documented. They saw a video of him wearing a T-shirt written with his son's jersey number. It was an altercation and they have found the gentleman. So my question is that should they start to now ensure the safety of even the family of these big players?
Well, I think beyond family, he's his manager as well and his agent. It's his manager and agent. So look, the club's responsibility for him getting into a bar fight altercation. You cannot expect Barcelona to look after Lamine Yamal's father when he's getting stabbed in an altercation with people having arguments. I mean, it's not Barcelona's responsibility.
It's like Man United was not there when Harry Maguire was getting his bum kicked in Greece in a bar. So,
well, he didn't get his bum kicked. That was the whole problem. That's why he got arrested. It's because he beat up some cops.
But all I'm saying is...
Yeah. he really did. So...
All I'm saying is it's security.
Marco had to defend even Maguire.
Hey.
Defender for a defender.
Listen to me nicely. Harry Maguire is a man I would not pick a fight with.
Well, it does look like he will F you up.
Exactly.
So what I'm saying is like protection goes to a certain extent. It's for the players. And when the players are at work, if you work at a bank, you are only secured during working hours. It's not like they send you home with a security guard or something, you know?
So unless you're an executive.
Unless, even then, it's like, they don't send you home with a security guard.
It was.
Okay. Okay. I just know when you travel, that's when you have one. But yeah, it's not the club's
responsibility. It's the police's
and
thing
it's actually
now,
the father's responsibility as well. Why is he getting into bar fights?
Agreed. And if you're...
Luis Diaz's father as well, he got into some trouble
He got kidnapped in Colombia for money, for ransom.
And it's in Colombia.
That's Colombia. That's standard practice there.
Stay at home.
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, that's why I think Liverpool did arrange for his family to move to England after that thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, okay, Tepi darling, where are we off to next?
So we're moving over to FIFA. This is a good segue because after this, we are going to be talking about the PSL. This story is coming from FIFA. It says that FIFA has confirmed that only one PSL club now remains banned following developments from the past 2 weeks. You would remember that I mentioned last week that Tears Galaxy was owing about 1.65 to a player, Yao Kouassi. They have settled that amount, and that means that they do not owe anyone else, and that means that they are now free. Right. It is said also that there is another team, which is Royal AM, which is the only team now that still has some issues with getting obviously banned. It's two players, Nurkovic, you would remember. They owe him a couple of millions. Another player is Nascimento. And that case remains unsolved despite Royal AM's claiming for weeks that they have settled the issue with the Brazilians. Question here is this. We only have one team now that is still in hot water, you know, being banned by FIFA. Considering also how Royal AM comes about, looking as though they do have, you know, the financial muscle, why are these issues not being solved?
It's Royal AM. That's long and short of it.
Yeah. It's the Todd Boehly of South Africa.
When you're paying people with envelopes, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
You can just sell 1 6x6 and play off the players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Six bags.
You can just sell off 1 6x6 and pay off players.
How many 6x6s does he have? Or do they have?
I've seen a couple.
Oh, okay.
Eh? Okay. What? What's a 6x6, by the way?
It's a German car.
It's a popular SUV that has not the standard four wheels, but it's got six wheels.
Okay, and finally
Have you seen it, G?
Yeah, man.
Oof. My G.
Oof. My G.
Okay.
The best knows no alternative.
Okay, and then the final team is JDR Stars. They were also on the list of clubs that have not paid for, and that means their ban has also been lifted. They have also settled their payments with FIFA. So like I've mentioned, the only team remaining now is Royal AM. So we're just hoping that, you know, they settle their Latasha, yeah, and everything else is going to be fine.
Hope is not a strategy.
I'm glad that FIFA is making the clubs accountable by giving them bans. If you can't pay people that they do in their contracts, if you can't settle these things, then you can't buy new players.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that the debt is off.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, yes, they do charge 5% interest per annum.
Mm. Those Swiss banks are expensive. What can I say?
Yeah. Okay. And actually, this story very quickly, this Nancy Mentor story, it says that the manager also then wants to settle concurrently. He says that he also wants, he's claiming now for another 6% commission over and above what is being owed to him. So Royal AM is in hot water. Anyway, that's all we have for you worldwide.
Thank you so much, darling. That was Around the World with Tippy Worldwide, brought to you by Aviator and Betway. Get way more. Bringing it home, as you said, comment here, Ula Singh, saying thoughts on South African football. Are South African coaches good enough looking at how they are treated, like Dan Dan's, the Richards Bay guy, the PLK City coach called mid-game, and Sima doing up-downs?
I saw that.
What's called mid-game?
The Polokwane City coach. You could tell he was talking to someone.
He was being told what to do. Oh. Yo, shit.
Look, South African football from a management, and it's not only coaches. It's. I almost want to say, without mincing my words, our football is pretty much no different to the taxi industry.
Okay.
The players and coaches are drivers, and the owners are like the owners.
D-Dop saying, Len can save Royal AM.
With what?
Me? Save Royal AM.
Professor Len. He'll come in, sort them out.
Oh, yes, guys. By the way, you would remember that there's another story about Maritzburg United. They did release a statement last week talking about the municipality is not as supportive to them and they had to change premises. And I think they changed the name to Durban City.
I've heard that before.
Oh, they just moved away from Herigwala. It's fine. Look, you just go for the best deal.
In the words of Jose Mourinho, this is football heritage.
Yes. So, like, yeah. Wait, what was I saying? What were we talking about? Royal AM. Yes. No, I kid. Oh, yes. How South African coaches are treated. Yes. Mm. It goes down to the players as well. We've seen this movie before. I don't think our players and our coaches get given the respect that they deserve. And that is why you're starting to see at the great trek of a lot of our players coaching out of the country. Who's a guy at Joaneng Stars? Murebudi.
Yeah, Murebudi.
Murebudi at Joaneng Stars in Botswana. We've got Rulani who's gone to
Morocco. Yeah.
To Morocco. Fadlu is gone as well.
Coach Alan Pito Fries.
Pito has been gone, and I don't think he's going to coach in this country anytime soon.
Yeah.
So there are certain teams that almost have their house in order, where it doesn't seem like coaches tend to complain a lot. And there's just the bulk of them that look like breed taxi rank.
I think there's managers that are respected and there's managers that don't respect themselves and they're treated as such. And Len mentioned them the previous episode.
Yeah, we spoke about this. Yeah,
you know, there are managers
this.
That don't respect themselves. You know, you get fired this week.
But you still have bills to pay, my friend.
I was about to say the same
Sometimes
thing.
Sometimes you have financial obligations and you just
you take
need
a
to
job because you need a job.
You
yeah.
turn around, you take it. You have no other option.
Unfortunately, that's always going to play out like that.
Mm.
Okay, Kaizer Chiefs. This is a big move, signing from Angolan club Petro de Luanda, Ignacio Miguel, reportedly R4.5 million.
May I say, it is alleged that they have signed.
Is it alleged? They haven't revealed him.
The club has not shown, Otebogo Mokoena does not play for Kaizer Chiefs, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we have not seen the Kaizer Chiefs platforms.
Yeah, they haven't announced
saying that this is the player.
So
that
it's not official, it's alleged.
Yeah. It's reported.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's reported. But if it's gonna be the same thing, I think, and I still stand by my words, that Kaizer Chiefs are gonna surprise a lot of teams this season.
Fact.
In the Betway Premiership.
Yeah, baby, I like the sound of that. Say it one more time.
In the bad way.
Kaizer Chiefs are going to surprise a lot of teams in the
Betway Premiership.
And by the way, this guy, the one that is supposedly going to be bought, is, by the way,
that's what I mean.
A really, really good defender. He's quite tall, also quite physical. And the other story is that he is also a player that does not get in trouble. Like, he's only had like 3 yellow cards the past season. So, you know, he's one of those people that you want to have on your team.
He's never met Abungile at all.
Okay, over to CAF. Orlando Pirates, they don't travel well in Africa.
They should learn.
Preliminaries are not their thing.
Yeah, and the conditions as well. I think preliminaries are very...
Where were they playing? In Cote d'Ivoire, correct?
No.
But they were playing against the Madagascan team.
Madagascar.
Yes, but they were playing in Mauritius.
Were they playing Mauritius, not Cote d'Ivoire?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the first leg.
There's a Cote in the name of the stadium, but it's not in Cote d'Ivoire.
A goalless draw to come back in the first leg and play in Orlando afterwards.
Yeah, Orlando, you should put the game to bed.
They should put the game to bed.
Not the end of the world, but it is concerning just in terms of their CAF campaign that Pirates really struggle when they have to travel in Africa.
And with them, if they qualify to the next round, their traveling is just going to get worse.
Mm. Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, okay. Sorry, guys. The name of the stadium is Côte d'Or National Sports Complex.
You should listen to the professor.
Côte d'Or.
Why are you not listening to the professor?
Yes, Côte d'Or.
Another Betway Premiership side that had an easier affair at Stelis. Moses Mabhida Stadium, Stelis, 3-0 win.
Yeah, building a little fortress there because they've got a mammoth of a match against Sundowns in the semis of the MTN 8. Because they're going to be playing their match there, their home game. So already doing the things at Moses Mabhida, stamping authority in the CAF Champions League. In the CAF Confederation Cup qualifiers. Mm-hmm. So the notes that Steve Barker took from Rulani Mokoena, those crypt notes clearly are working.
Yeah, no rainers, no problems.
Mm.
Yeah.
Who's the one who went to Pirates? What's his name again?
Oh, yeah.
Van Rooyen, right?
Yeah.
Yes, no Van Rooyen, no problem. They just seem like a machine that just took off.
Maya Lula off to Wydad as Mokoena is eyeing Brazilian Pardinho from Botafogo.
I'm happy for Maya Lula. I mean, he was not okay there in the US anyway. We saw that he was kind of struggling, not doing very well, not getting enough play time. So it's good for him to come back. And in fact, remember, I was even having this conversation, guys. And I was like, is it fine if he comes back to South Africa? So, yeah, I mean, he's fine there with Rulani.
Look, it's
at some point, Musi was sent to train with the young ones.
Like,
was that not him?
I think
Mailula went to the States thinking he's going to play football. He ended up playing soccer.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Probably that's a problem. But good move for him. And with Mokoena eyeing Pardinho, actually, him and the president of Wydad actually went to go watch a Botafogo match over the weekend. Mm.
So they're serious about that.
Yeah, it seemingly looks like it's a deal that they're going to get over the line. And Mailula going to play for... Good for Bafana as well, yeah.
Yep.
I think so. For Bafana. And then the Confederation of African Football has confirmed a boost of funds for clubs participating in the preliminary rounds of the inter-club competitions. Each club will receive $50,000 for participating in the preliminary rounds of the competition. Also, big prizes up for grabs for the Champions League winners, 72 million rand. CAF Champions League runners up, 36 million rand. Confederations winners, 36 million rand. And Confederation runners up, 18 million rand. A little extra motivation for Stelis to go all the way in the Confederation.
It's not like they need the money. I'm joking. Yes. Motivation.
No, definitely. All I'm seeing now is the Sundowns accountant is going to be very busy once again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, what stands out with that is that $50,000 that the teams are going to get, because previously you have to do with what you have within your disposal. You didn't get any assistance from CAF. Now having to get almost a meal just to help you with your traveling and all of that, I think it's gonna go a long way for teams like SuperSport, you know, that don't want to play.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hate to bring it back to Gavin Hunt again.
Yeah.
And his words about traveling to the continent and the costs involved. And if you don't have the budgets in place, this should help.
Yeah. The interesting thing about this, and one of you guys must just remind me one of these good days, to actually look at, do a cost analysis of, you say the mill is going to help with travel and what. Is R1 million enough?
Well, it can help, my friend.
It's R1 million that you did not have.
Yeah,
no, granted. Help. But is it enough? But it's a conversation that we'll visit. We'll bring out our spreadsheets. Excel will be our friend. We'll put it on the screen and we'll actually see what the approximate cost of going on the continent playing a game is going to cost versus what you get for being in a round like the prelims.
Okay. I think that's a good exercise for Prof Len and his accounting skills to go save Royal AM as well. Okay.
Can we talk about Bafana?
We'll get there in a minute. I've got one question to ask to all the ballers and everyone out there. In South Africa, we have an issue with the stadiums being largely empty for many of the fixtures. As football fans, fans of the show, fans of football in general, do you regularly go to your local games? And if you do not, why?
I can answer.
Well, it's a question that I want people to actually genuinely answer individually.
And on the comments as well, the comments of the show.
Please go to the comments.
On the chat as well, yeah.
And
you need assistance from Kev to go to the stadium.
Yeah, me? No. I've got a very large TV at my house.
So, yeah, once again, do you go to your local football games regularly? Are you expecting to go regularly during the Betway Premiership? And if you do not, why? What is your answer? I'd like to hear people's like genuine answers individually as to why they don't go regularly or wouldn't go regularly to their local games. Okay, let's also take it over to Bafana.
Can I add one more bit? One more bit. The other reason why I don't go to the stadium and I've got a very big TV that I watch is because I can see all the Betway adverts during a game. And then at halftime, I can see the Betway Arsenal advert that has all the Arsenal players giving props to all the Arsenal supporters in South Africa.
Yeah.
Boom. Nice one, Betway. Anyway, carry on.
Okay, Bafana.
That was a dope ad. I saw that. He was dope.
Very cool.
Yo.
Bafana.
Still a preliminary squad. It's just chopping and changing and seeing who stays. We know who the regulars are. Williams will stay.
Tembezwane.
The Sundowns lot. Yeah, that lot will stay. The Apolis, I think, will stay. Pesi Tau will stay.
Tekana? Oh, yeah, that's Sundowns.
Yes. Msimango is there, right?
Chiefs
Msimango, I think, is part of the squad.
The list is there in front of
I'm
Mark.
Not seeing
the
him.
Preliminary squad.
So.
No, I'm not seeing
the
yes,
Kaiser
he is.
Chiefs.
Yeah,
Msimango
is
there.
So the Kaiser Chiefs players I see here on the list immediately is given Msimango. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It is Rushwin Dortley, Bruce Bavuma.
Bruce.
Oh, that's a keeper though.
Yeah.
Because
I think there's about four keepers in that prelim squad.
Yeah, it's a preliminary squad. Yeah. So there are three Kaiser Chiefs players in the preliminary squad. Which I think is the interesting pick out of the lot.
I think Bruce is the one that's going to fall off. Goz and Sipho and Rowan will go through in that goalkeeping department.
Yeah.
Puma will fall off.
Yeah,
yes, you're right.
And Williams will go,
So in terms of Msimango, Dortley, are we seeing them making the final squad?
Msimango, yes.
The new crop of players that have been called, there's one who plays in the Eredivisie. Just forgot his name now. I think he should be added into the mix. But all the regulars like Percy Tau, Evidence Mahopa, Lyle Foster will make it. Makwana
oh, no,
will
about
make
Simon
it.
Fun something.
Yes,
David and Borden.
Yeah.
Yes.
Makwana will make it. Maseko will make it. Reynas will make it.
Lyle.
I said Foster will make it. Apolis will make it.
Evidence.
No.
I said Evidence will make, but he didn't play.
He just came back from injury.
Yeah.
As well.
Okay. So,
the coach loves him. So
yeah. So his presence will probably make a thingy.
And then Percy.
Obviously. So the Sundowns lot, and
some Pirates players.
Look, I think
let's say the Sundowns lot, including Percy Tau, Lyle Foster, Makwana.
Ngezana?
Mukwana.
Mukwana, sorry. Well, running in the Sundowns. And yeah, but let's wait for, because obviously this is still going to be trimmed.
Yeah.
It's going to be trimmed. So difficult because all the players that are there, actually, quality good, players.
Hey? Exactly,
mean,
yeah.
You look at a guy like Titus. I mean, he's been doing well. You know, you want to see him like getting that notch, you know?
Or Lebuchile Mukwe. I mean, sorry, Mofokeng will also make it, I think. So, yeah, I think it's all fun and games with this. It's a preliminary squad. Let's chop it down properly once Hugo Boss makes his final 23.
Yeah. Speaking of fun and games, Game Master Professor Len Moleko has prepared another game for us. Take us home. So yeah, that's looking forward to those. Looking forward to those upcoming two fixtures for Bafana Bafana in terms of their AFCON qualifier for the next Morocco games and the friendly game as well.
All right, so what needs to happen now with the game? We call it kickoff. Brought to you by Betway, where you get way more.
So I must look at that shop.
Yeah.
What shop are you talking about?
Look home.
My bakery.
Look home. Look at your so that you don't see the TV.
Okay,
no cheating allowed.
How this game's going to work is Len Moleko is going to bring up a picture of a player who he knows who they are. I might not necessarily know who they are, but I'm going to try to describe the player if I know who they are to the other two.
I'm facing look that way, bro.
To the other two panelists here in the studio and see who guesses first. If you guess correctly, it's 3 points.
Yes.
If you both guess correctly at the same time, it's a draw.
Yes.
If you don't guess correctly, 0 points.
Cool. And the other one thing I need to mention, if you've got the correct answer from the clues that Marco is giving, all you have to do is say the magic word, Betway.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. We understand the rules. Let's see it. Let's have a go.
All right, cool. We're going to player number one. Oh, bowlers as well. At home, you can play too. And
yeah, stay
put down
with
your phones.
Comments.
Put down
yeah,
your phones. Yeah, put yeah, down yeah, your yeah, phones. Yeah, put yeah, down yeah. your phones. Put down your phones. Because then you'll get the answers from the bowlers. Okay, cool. Getting ready to start with it. Mr. Marco. Dun, 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 dun. The first player.
Okay.
Okay, which team did he play?
Which team did he play for?
Yeah, which team did he play for?
He scored a lot of goals in the early 2000s in the PSL.
Okay.
He played for Swallows for a period.
Swallows and then?
Golden Arrows?
Yeah.
Did he play for Arrows? Len Moleko, you need to help me.
No.
Len, okay. Give us a name.
Okay, must I give the answer or must I give...
No,
give
us
clues, because I'm
tell
blanking.
Tell me the name of, the team he played for, Len.
Who did he score most of his goals for?
He was not a regular goal scorer because he was a defender.
For which team?
Which team, Len? No. Time.
I've confused
Jomo him. Cosmos.
What?
Andrew Rabut.
3 points to Super Sub. That is correct. Jaws of Life, Andrew Rabut. That's 3-2 Super Sub.
That's minus 3 for me. Okay, let's go.
Going on to the next one.
I don't like this game.
Okay, he played.
I would give the easiest clue to this.
So okay, he's one of the biggest Dutch strikers.
Yeah.
Guys.
Come on.
What do you mean?
Ruud van Nistelrooy.
No. Before that. Long before that.
Come on.
Ruud Gullit.
What do you mean?
The clue.
Ruud Krol.
The best. Ruud Gullit.
No, not Ruud Gullit. It's he is a prominent striker.
That's not Dutch.
Top goal scorer in a European Championship in the 90s. He has the same first name as me.
That's the clue.
Marco.
If you guys don't get it, you deserve to be kicked out of this game.
Okay, I'm going to make it easy. What is a surname in Dutch or Afrikaans?
Marco van...
There you go.
Marco van Royen.
No.
Marco van Rensburg. No, it can't be
okay,
Rensburg.
Okay, do we... Okay, 5,
Lebogang Mazibo, you are correct.
3, 2, 1. Question is over. The
Marco
correct...
van?
Marco Basten. Van Basten.
Marco van Basten.
I don't even know.
All right, going on to the third clue that Marco has to give.
Okay.
The tallest player in Premier League history. I don't know if that's a true fact, but it certainly seems like it.
Ah, that's easy, man.
Played for Liverpool.
And Fulham, ne?
I don't know he, for Fulham.
Peter Crouch.
There we go. The player.
6 points to Super Sub. Looks like he's running away with this.
Did he play for Fulham? He played for Leicester.
And I know he played for Portsmouth as well.
He played for a lot of teams.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Anyway,
but primarily at Liverpool.
Yeah.
Now for the final clue of the game. Booyah! Khoya Spena in the works, don't you? Just because it's Women's Month. That's a clue.
Banyana captain.
Hoja Muriz.
Yanda Dlamini.
Who?
Sorry, what did you say?
Dlamini.
Who? Which Dlamini?
Not Ayanda. The one who's a pundit now, man.
I know
man.
Her.
The name
her.
Has to be full for you to get the 3 points.
Amanda.
Amanda.
There we go. I you said her. Amanda Dlamini first. So that's 3 points to Super Sub.
Oh
9
God.
Points to Super Sub. He ran away with it. And that is how we conclude our kickoff game today, brought to you by Betway, where you get way more.
Congratulations.
And congratulations to Super Sub, even though you couldn't get Marco van Basten.
Okay, but also you get no forgot. Points because you didn't listen to Len's rule where you have to say Betway if you've got the answer.
Oh,
so nobody wins.
Technically, none of them got any points.
Wow.
Okay. And that brings us to a tidy end. Thank you so much, Len Moleko.
No transfer news, nothing. Oh, we're done.
I think we touched on the transfer
the
news.
Of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see more changes. We touched on Calvin Phillips, Ilkay Gundogan. We touched largely on
it. And I also just add a bit that apparently Victor Osimhen, Chelsea is also
yes.
They just wanna add. Like more daddy go deeper with the signings.
Yeah, but at least Lukaku is definitely on his way out with that deal coming in.
So. Yeah, off to Napoli because him and Antonio Conte are buddies. Big buddies, yes.
And he does score goals in Italy, which is a nice place for Raheem Sterling, I think.
Yeah,
I'd
true.
Like to see him
oh,
there.
Oh, also Juventus is eyeing Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, I think it would be a good move for him.
Yeah, true.
Okay, thank you so much, Len Moleko,
German.
Tepi Worldwide, and Super Sub. And most of all, thank you to you, the ballers. Join us again next week, Tuesday, on Onside ZA. Remember to stay onside. Don't be offside. Be onside with us and Betway, where you get way more.
Danke.
Booyah. Peace.